Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler, won't say it twice cause we already warned you.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers episode 760, Talk Dirty to Me, the Brett Michaels story.
I feel like that would be like the weird, like that's what I want to see from the Brett Michaels story.
Oh, yeah.
The weird version of it.
And Daniel Radcliffe plays it.
Yeah, that'd be so good. That'd be great.
You know, there was already a movie called Talk to Me, right?
No.
Yeah, starring Don.
Is it romantic? Is
no,
that...
starring Don Cheadle.
Oh, yeah.
He played like a Petey Green, a DJ, a famous DJ from Washington that kind of was the...
That does kind
of...
Yeah,
like,
well.
I mean, Mike Epps, Cedric the Entertainer, Taraji P. Henson. Like, it was, yeah, I mean, okay. It was, it's actually, as someone who grew up loving radio, sure. It was an interesting story.
That's fair.
You know, but yeah, there's already been a movie called that. So let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves before I forget to have us go around the table so everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, iHeart, TuneIn. Wherever you find a podcast, you can find us while you're there. Don't forget to follow us, rate, review, subscribe, all the things. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. Like the page, join the group. It's called the League of Show Shares. We don't have any show shares this week because
nobody shared the show. God damn it.
Between the last recording and this one.
Yeah, last week's episode, they were like, that was so bad.
We're done.
I told you guys. Yeah. Tried to tell you, but.
Should
have done the Equalizer 3.
We're recording this immediately following.
Does that rabbit have headphones on?
It does. That rabbit does have headphones on. Yeah. For months now, yeah. For people that there's a stuffed bunny rabbit on the podcast table and it has headphones on. Yes. So, but anyway, we're recording this episode immediately following the Haunting the Venice episode because I am going on a cruise, so I won't be here to record an episode.
Yeah.
So we're doing two back to back. So because of that, we're backing up and hitting a movie that we didn't hit because it came out the same time as something big.
Yeah.
And so, but we're going to talk about...
It's out on digital now.
It's spooky time.
Yeah, but it just hit streaming just in time for Halloween. And so we're backing up.
Yeah.
Also, don't forget our Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, $5 a month, bonus content. We like you more. And then you can watch these on YouTube.
There it is.
Boom. There's
you got
that.
It. Good job.
YouTube.com/@realspoilers. Easy to remember.
Easy to remember.
Thanks, YouTube.
Thanks for not making it easy for anyone ever.
I think we have like 375 or 67. Yeah. Like we're creeping.
There
up
is. There. I feel bad. We do reference like people that leave us reviews all the time.
Yeah.
And there is one dude that does comment on our videos fairly regularly.
Yeah.
And I just want to like I need to make sure I call him out because not call him
don't
out.
Don't call
like,
him out.
But like Jeez. Shout him out. I guess.
No, he's. I know you're talking about.
Yeah. It's God dang it. At Matt Goffishly? At Matt Goffishial TV.
Yes, there
it is.
Official TV, yes.
And then somebody else
combine that.
It's Matt Goffishial TV.
Okay.
Yeah. And then somebody else said, this is actually pretty funny. Is he going to call her Tessa for the whole podcast? Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
Because I didn't remember what her name was.
That's the answer to that. Yeah. Oh, Lord. Yeah.
We called her Mary, too, whole time.
They don't know that.
That's true. Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
He fixed it.
No, you didn't.
Well, no, I only left one in there.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. There's a little Easter egg for people.
I heard it, and I was just like, ah. Well,
I edited a lot of them out.
Good. Yeah. Okay, cool.
There was one I couldn't, and I didn't care enough to like try to figure it out. So, you know, but the others are all fixed.
Cool.
We just call her Warren. Everyone just calls her, you know, like Warren. Like, I just removed the first name.
That's really good.
So anyway, there's all that. Let's dig in to talk to
there. Me. You know, and I would say in the last 6 months, we had Barbarian. We had Smile.
We didn't have Barbarian in 6 months.
It's from 2022.
Was that really that long ago? Oh, yeah.
Last year. So, okay, it's on sale on Vudu right now for $5.
It's fantastic.
It might not be by the time people hear this episode.
It's so good.
But
Barbarian, you had Smile. You've had this Pearl and X. So you've kind of had this, not resurgence, but there has been kind of this.
I wouldn't call it a resurgence because I think like smaller indie horror has been on quite a run for the last 10 years.
I think we started to get those reboots. The requels and the reboots and the Scream and Halloween. And
yeah,
all
I don't
that
consider
stuff.
Those part of it.
No.
Even I think the Scream ones have been pretty good, but I wouldn't. That's not indie.
No, not at all. But I think like A24 and the Blumhouse have been pumping out some really good, really good stuff. And I got to tell you, this is fantastic. Yeah.
This is more what I'm looking for. When we talk about those last two horror movies that were total snoozes, it's like this was interesting.
It's an insanely brilliant concept. But it's also, it kind of has themes from It Follows or the kids trying to figure out how to beat the demon.
Right.
Like, so those themes are there, but
and
it's done
like,
in such an interesting manner.
To be addicted to a supernatural thing like that, to use it like a drug. It's like an, such
Do
an
you
interesting...
think that's what she was, I felt like she.
I think so. Cause they kept talking about whenever they would come out of it, they'd be like, oh my God, that felt amazing.
They do the montage, usually it'd be in a movie of kids getting high and stuff, and it was them all talking to the spirits,
like
a drug montage. Like, it's such an interesting way to like be addicted to it. I've never seen that in a supernatural sense where they're getting high from the experience.
Yeah. So, I wanted to see this, and unfortunately I missed it in theaters, which is a shame. I should have seen this in theaters. That's on me.
Yeah, you should have. We're really disappointed in you.
That's a story.
We don't even know who you are anymore.
Trust me. I hear you. But this is, man, again, just talking about like Barbarian and Smile, which are just these kind of concepts that I would say 15 years ago don't get made.
Yeah.
Right? You see this thing. It's a YouTube short, which Smile kind of was, I think. Initially,
did they do that?
I think there were like
Light Switch one was
Lights Out. Absolutely was. Yeah. That's a great short.
Or Slender Man.
Oh,
I mean, that was like an internet urban legend that got turned into a movie. So yes. I feel like it's internet based.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. But yeah, this is the kind of horror. Do I love bad?
You do.
Oh yes, I do. But I always appreciate when there are new voices in horror and they're able to tell just a super interesting and well-crafted scary horror movie.
And this is the rare occasion where YouTubers make a feature film and it turns
out really
good.
Is that who they were?
Yeah. These are YouTubers.
Okay. Raka Raka is their YouTube Australian is their Australian YouTube channel known for its live action horror comedy videos.
Okay, we'll have to check them out.
I'm going to say listen to Real Spoilers because if you remember, Creepy Joe used to be in a kangaroo pouch. They put that kangaroo in the movie. I think that's a shout out.
Man, I hope so. Man, I hope so. That kangaroo didn't have a mustache. That creeperoo had a mustache in those pictures.
Why else would an Australian know about kangaroos?
That's true.
There's no other reason whatsoever.
God forbid.
Real Spoilers listener confirmed.
So, yeah, this is an original story where they have this ceramic hand that has all this different writing.
Well, we don't
on
really
it.
Know what it is. They claim it's a mummified hand.
They do.
Now,
but doesn't it break? I guess a mummified hand would break, though.
Yeah, they never really say.
Yeah, they say it's the hand of a, like, what, a psychic or
something like that.
Someone's clairvoyant
or whatever. That was embalmed.
Yeah. And then they, like, plastered over
it. But we have no way to know if that's accurate. Like, the way the movie presents it, like, even they don't know. They're just like.
I have to think it's real, though, because the stuff is really happening. Like,
I meant the reason behind it. If/when they make a sequel, they could totally flip it
without undermining
what they've established. Because it's basically just like, I don't know, maybe it's this. That's not what we're here for. Yeah.
But I got big old It Follows vibes from that because they don't explain that thing at all.
Yeah.
That's just a thing.
It's like a porn. You're not here for a plot.
Right.
Get to the money shots.
Or even Smile is kind of similar where they don't explain.
Yeah, no, you don't need to. And people keep getting rid of this thing for obvious reasons. But, you know, people use it and then all of a sudden once
something happens
and then people get rid of it to the next person and they explain, like, I got it from a friend who got it from a friend because people keep passing this thing, like,
right,
get this thing away from me.
Worst hand job ever.
Yeah. I don't know. That guy seemed to be really enjoying some of the things that were going on.
Yeah, it's true. And I
think it's funny that the two most disturbing images in the movie, neither of them are violent or horror based.
Dog and foot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. The foot one.
Oh,
boy. That, like.
Do you ever think, like, okay, how clean is the foot? Like, for movie, like, when they're filming the movie, the guy's like, okay, I took three showers. We're like, washing with total sand.
I just got a pedicure.
Yeah, like how much do they prep for a real person?
He's on set, like, with it. He's like, I didn't put it on the floor.
I didn't touch it.
It's like, it hasn't touched anything.
You know, they have to, and like, I don't know if they like.
There's probably someone that whose job is to wash his foot right before they film the scene.
Because that's just got to be so weird.
They get a Catholic priest to do it. They filmed this over Lent.
Yeah, but also it's not like it was a toe.
Right.
That gal had his foot. That gal had his
foot. She was deep footing it.
She was.
And
every toe.
Two, it's the demon and, like, whoever played the demon
True.
Both had to put the foot in their mouth.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Anyway, I always think of when there's weird stuff that is practical, I think, how did they film that and what's the prep like?
Right. I know. I was thinking the same thing. Or is it even a real foot? Or, are they?
Did they replace
the foot so she didn't have to do it?
They pulled a misery.
When they're interviewing her, they're like, what is your opinion on sucking a foot?
You don't have a foot thing, do you?
She's like, when you said sucking A, I was really afraid where it was going to go. And somehow, you didn't say, but it was worse.
Was Quentin Tarantino a producer on this movie? Yeah. What are we doing? So the cold open of this is we have this dude, Colton, I think is the guy's name.
Cole.
He's going through.
Cole and Duckett.
Which I think, this is a very Australian movie.
Yes.
Everybody, which
I watch it with the subtitles on.
It is sometimes you have to because it was there's another one I think called Wolf Creek that is also Australian. And man, that one is hard to watch because A, the subject matter, B, the main like killer has one of the thickest Australian accents I've ever heard on film.
Spoilers.
That's not a spoiler,
isn't it?
No.
No. Do you know who the killer is the whole time?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know. I've never seen it.
Like, it's not a mystery movie.
No.
It's not like, who's the
killer? Not like, hey, Jason's the killer. Yeah. Gasp.
Yeah.
Well, part one.
Yeah. But he wasn't.
That's right. Mm. Yeah, that's how poor Drew Barrymore lost her guts in Scream 1. Spoilers for Scream 1, sorry. So the brother shows up at this party, and he's freaking out because he can't find his brother. So he walks into this room, and his brother's doing what his brother's doing. And he's like, all right, man, like, we got to go. Like, we're going to leave. And as they're walking out, people at this party have stopped and are like taking pictures because the brother is kind of cut up and he's like, he's not in good shape. And out of nowhere, the brother it's a brilliant misdirect where he grabs a knife and like stabs his own brother in the back and then walks outside and just like, the ice is going to break. Christopher Walken, Stephen King.
Dead Zone.
The Dead Zone.
Yeah.
It's a very Dead Zone-esque murder scene. If you haven't seen that, I cannot recommend that enough. He just like jams the knife into his face. And then we're like, it's credits. It's
like, holy shit. Right?
Yeah. And so we're introduced.
He's very strong.
Well, like
that. I don't know how feasible that is.
Well, if you go through the eye.
I mean, you'd really have to have good aim and be very strong.
That is Both are correct.
If you're possessed by demons, I guess you can do. I've seen those Evil Dead movies.
A little extra oomph. So we're introduced to our three main characters, and unfortunately I don't remember their names. But
it's is it
girl there, one, girl two, boy one.
There's a Riley.
I think that's the brother.
Okay. Yeah, Riley's the brother.
Yeah.
And then the other two.
So let's see here.
Mia.
Okay.
Mia's the main friend.
What?
Who's the girl with the dead mom?
Mia. That's Mia.
Okay.
Yeah. Mia's like the main character, I'd say.
Okay. Yeah.
So Mia is, her mother has passed, is dead, and there's kind of this, she's feel like there's something wrong, right? So the story is that the dad shows up and he can't get into this.
The dad was asleep on the couch.
Yes.
The mom was locked in the bedroom.
I thought it was the bathroom. It doesn't matter.
Oh, I thought it was bedroom. Okay.
But he's trying to get into the door and he can't because she has slumped on top of the door and he can't open the door because it opens in, right?
Yeah.
And when he finally does, she's gone. She's died.
OD'd.
She's OD'd, yeah.
But like, I still feel like there was more to that story than they were telling us because they said that she had wood from the door under her fingernails. Like she was trying to claw her way out.
Oh, interesting.
So I'm like, you don't OD and try to claw your way out of a bathroom.
Yeah, you just kind
of
call it a day.
You either fall asleep or you open the door.
Right.
Like, you don't have to claw.
Interesting.
Yeah. There was a lot of interesting misdirects there because it did seem like the dad did something.
Yeah, like, yeah.
But then it seemed like the demons were messing with her and trying to convince her.
Oh,
that.
They absolutely
so
were.
So I think there were some really good misdirects because it kept you guessing, like, what is really going on here?
Right. And I think, man, I think the beginning of this is so smart. Because they give you time to... What's the other gal's name? The other character?
Jade.
The friend.
Jade.
Yeah.
They give you time to learn, you know, to learn about Jade and Mia and their friendship. But at the same time, they've got, you know, with TikTok and Instagram and videos, you're seeing videos of this hand and what it's doing to people. So while you're not... It's not thrown in your face immediately, you're at least given, like, hints of what this thing is or what they say that it is, because I think Mia's like, it's bullshit. Like, it's none of this is real. They're just putting on a show for TikTok or whatever. The mean girl, the mean person.
Yeah. I think they're non-binary.
I think you're probably right.
Cause I think they used they pronouns, didn't they?
Possibly.
I thought they did.
That's possible.
Haley is
the person who has the hand
right
at this point.
Zoe Tarekis is the actor.
Okay.
Haley.
Haley has this hand and they throw parties and everybody gets involved with the hand. So Jade is more popular than Mia. Mia is kind of like an outcast. Nobody really likes, not doesn't like her, but she is just kind of weird.
Yeah.
She's also dealing with a lot of stuff. Since her mom's death, she's just not the same. And her relationship with her dad is strained and she won't talk to him. She thinks, you know, there's something else that he's not telling her, and so she's just gone to live with Jade's family basically. So her and the friend and Jade and Riley the brother are very close, and
yeah, I did think it was interesting they kind of played with that there might be like some sort of, because I think Riley is younger, but there is sort of like an attraction between Riley and Mia.
You think so?
I do think they kind of, I kind of, like, you know, when...
That was just like an adoptive little brother thing. I didn't really think there was...
Maybe. They go to this party, and the person was like, why did you bring her? Like, what? And then they bring the brother as well. They don't want Mia around, because she's just weird. So they bust out the hand, and nobody really wants to do it, because these videos are kind of creepy. So
first off, I would like to say to the creators of this film, thank you for ignoring the impulse to call this movie Talk to the Hand.
It's fair.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That's very good.
Yes.
That would be a real rocka rocka.
No, man. No. So nobody wants to mess with the hand, right? And Mia, wanting to fit in, says, I'll do it. And
because she thinks it's BS. She's
right.
Like, whatever.
Whatever. So the deal, I think you have to. Oh, so the first thing you do is you shake hands with the hand and you say, talk to me. And when you say talk to me, that opens the door to.
They light a candle.
Right.
You gotta, like, touch over the hand candle. And then you have 90 seconds. If you if you stay connected to it for more than 90 seconds, then the spirits haunt you and like won't go away.
Yeah. So you cannot... I gotta tell you, these kids are real bad with time.
Yes. Yeah.
Jesus. So,
but they trick her into doing it, basically.
Do they?
That she stays longer than 90. She ends up staying longer because she sees her mom. It's tricking her to keep her on the hook.
No, she didn't see her mom yet, does she? Well, she sees I'm that weird, saying, like, burnt lady.
I'm saying eventually.
Oh, yes, she, yes. The, you mean the demons trick
her. The demons end up tricking her because when the kid, when Joel, what's his name? The brother?
Riley.
Riley.
Riley's the brother?
Yeah.
Okay. When the brother ends up seeing the demon or whatever, she sees her mom. She's like, wait just a second.
Yes, and then, you're right.
Then that's why she hangs on, and that it ends up following him.
Right.
Because they keep tricking them to keep them on the hook, basically.
The demon changes its voice to Mia's mom. Yeah. And yes, you're right. And man, oh boy, when we get there, that was tough.
So she does it, and she sees a weird ghost.
Like burnt lady.
Yeah.
And... It's very creepy.
Good imagery. I think creepy effects.
They change her face just a little bit. Her like head kind of tilts to the side, and she has this weird voice.
I think the actor does a great job. When they put the big contacts on, so they're like big dilated eyes, and then she's very creepy, very much Deadite-like. Reminded me of Evil Dead. And just she does a great job with the performance, because I really felt like she was possessed.
Her voice, they do a voice. This is, you know, we talked about The Conjuring. That second one is good, but there's a scene in that one where the demon or where the ghost won't talk to Ed Warren. It's Ed Warren.
Mm-hmm. Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. Okay. Patrick Wilson. Unless Patrick Wilson turns his back, right? And the way they film that is you hear the voice, and the girl is like just... It's focused on Ed. And the girl's out of focus, and then there's like a thing that kind of grows behind the girl. That's a very eerie, creepy image.
I like that out of focus or like in the background, weird things going on that are just...
They do that in this one where there's a scene where Mia is like looking at the corner. Like she sits up in bed and she's like looking at it's the weird foot scene where you think you're looking at maybe like a chair with a jacket on it or a pile of laundry. And then it starts like, it moves, and I was like, God damn, that was a good one. So she does it, and then she lets go, and she was like, oh my God, that was amazing. And then they have that montage of all of them kind of doing different things. And then I think Mia does ask the question, like, can we ask to talk to someone? Or maybe Riley does it, and he just does it on accident.
Yeah, Riley wants to do it, and his sister's like, hell no, you're not doing this.
Well, first we get the Christian boyfriend does it. So basically they want to throw another party. And Mia and Jade go to the other person like, hey, what would it take for you to like come to our place and do this? And finally they talk them into doing it. So they all show up at the house. I do love this. This mom's kind of one of my favorite characters where she's like, what time's the party? And they're like, what party? What are you talking about? And she would go to like each kid.
Trying to trick them.
Yeah. And like, it just wouldn't work, which I like that. I thought that was funny. The whole sneaking out thing. She's like, I'm not sneaking out. I'm not doing that. And of course she is. So they get to Jade's house and everybody does it. And then Dan decides to do it. And it gets a little weird. This is like, he says some things that are triggers for Jade and Mia, where it kind of says that like
implying that he's not attracted to Jade
at all.
And yeah.
And he might be attracted to Mia
because they dated very briefly.
Is that what that was?
Yeah. Cause they said that there was all the lines about like, well, he was my boyfriend first, but she was like, it was in the fifth grade. You held hands for 10 minutes.
She's like she makes him soft and things like that. And it's like, oh dang. And the entire time the demon is looking at Mia while that's happening.
But did we mention though that Mia held on for a little too long in the beginning? They went over 90 seconds.
Is that what they did?
So they tried to pull the hand out, and she was like,
oh, you're right. She was
like clamped on it, and they couldn't break her free.
So that's why it's kind of following her around now. Things are creepy from this point on with Mia because
whether it's like a nightmare or
but it's really following her because she held on too long.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. So Dan does it, and he kind of like starts to.
He's like feeling himself.
Yeah. And then he starts humping, like he falls on the floor and starts.
The dog
like,
comes over.
And the dog starts like
he
going
like full on makes out with
what does
the
PETA
dog.
Think of this? Because
PETA's like, hey, man.
That's. I just. This is another one of those things where it's like, that's really happening. And I mean, I know it's like harmless and the dog's just licking the guy, but I'm like, it goes on and on. And I'm like,
it does
go is on. That. Like, that's not right. Like, I don't know. It just, it's yeah. a weird
thing. It is very weird.
That was another moment where I was like, do they somehow have, like, a puppet dog?
That's what I'm wondering, because it's like, and, I mean, it's not. Because
that's a really good puppet. Yeah, yeah, well done.
It's obviously supposed to be uncomfortable, and they achieve that goal.
Yes.
I really hope to see Jim Henson's workshop in the credits. Please. That would be great.
But
thank
it's
you.
Just the dog licking. Like, it's not anything harming.
But, like, but the actor, and he's doing what he, but the actor. The character thinks in his mind he's like making out with a girl
right,
or something.
And that's where it gets a little weird.
And so
that
he's
the,
definitely
he's
like
leaning into it.
Yeah, he's yeah. leaning into it. He's responding as if he's making out
and
with somebody.
That's the weird
yeah.
thing. That is the weird thing.
Yeah, he commits, man.
And he's,
he commits.
Yeah. And so they he snaps out of it. Daniel snaps out of it.
He's
and
like, oh,
realizes what he's like. Delete those videos. Delete them. I was like, no way.
No.
Absolutely not. So now Riley
said. Never be a senator.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely possible.
That's
unless,
true.
Unless you're getting groped and jerked off in a Beetlejuice thing.
Oh, my.
Have you not seen this?
Why would you go to Beetlejuice?
I have not like, seen anything that
I,
says
it,
that.
I, there's a video of this.
I've seen
out
the
there.
Video, but I've seen her vaping.
No, there's another one.
All right.
It's okay.
Bonkers. But also, at Beetlejuice?
Right. Yeah, like, right. Just watch the show.
She's too excited. She thought Michael Keaton was going to be there.
It's showtime.
Yeah. He was like, Dale.
So Riley wants to do it. And of course, they're like, no, man. Like, no way. But they say, what if we cut the time down? What if we do the time a little bit less?
50 seconds.
And they all agree. And.
Well, they don't all agree.
Oh, I guess that's true.
Maya just kind of. Or Mia just kind of. Bullies their way into it, like
yeah.
The way it's filmed, you feel like they all agree, but then when things go wrong, and the other characters are like, we did not all agree.
Mm.
You just kind of steamrolled us, and she does.
And but and there's a reason, right? Because she's kind of under the influence
right.
of this thing. And as we go forward in this movie, we see that the demons will influence her. In real life, right? Whether we think it's she thinks somebody is her dad, or we think somebody is, you know,
well, like for whatever reason, and I don't think they explain it, and they don't need to, but like they're really focused on the brother, and so like they're like manipulating her to possess him, and I don't know why, but they're like showing
fresh,
an interest.
Fresh
in
meat,
yeah.
But they're all fresh meat.
Yeah. I guess that's true.
For whatever reason, though, like even when she does it, like it's like focusing on him. There's something about him that's. Pulling them, and so they're convinced they're like manipulating her to get to him, and then so they do it,
and he holds on
this
to
part
him.
Man is like this is a gnarly
this is I mean it reminded me of like of Barbarian
yeah
like there's it's just or even a, like that end sequence in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood
yeah
like where they're you know Brad Pitt's just smashing
but this kid
faces.
Just yeah smashing his own head against the desk and then basically just about to kill himself
he
and
is.
Jade
pulling
runs
his
in.
Own eyeball out
yeah but yeah I'm trying to pull his eye out I mean this is really gnarly stuff this is the stuff in horror like when we talk about The Nun 2 where I'm like there wasn't really anything that made me like
squeamish yeah
or you know there was no
I don't,
gore
so, okay.
And this one was like oh I was sitting there
I don't think you need to be squeamish or gore to make a successful horror movie
no you don't need
but
to.
But it does have an effect when it comes out of nowhere
yeah
like well I in Smile, there's a scene where you're just like, what is happening? Yeah. Like, what the
fuck?
You know, and that's, I think when you can get a what the F moment with your gore, you know, like at a Friday the 13th, you're like, oh, I expect you to chop
that
guy
in
half.
you slash somebody's neck.
That's
of course
expect,
you did.
I expect
yeah.
to happen. But when something that's kind of a little more grounded, you're like, oh, so he's about to like.
Finish himself off.
Yeah. And his sister kind of runs in and puts her hand on the you know like you would protect a baby from hitting their head on the table and she messes up her hand but it does save Riley's life they take Riley to the hospital and of course everybody's
he is
like
messed up
his face it's a fantastic
everyone's
makeup.
Like and like the two main guys are like we got to get our story straight and we're there on probation or something
they were not in a good spot
and so they're like we got to make sure everyone's you know so the police
that's true because Jay does say they don't want Mia there because they're like, you did this.
Yeah.
Like, you put this in the, like, into into play, basically.
But they were already being investigated for the first, the opening act. They're part
the
of
the other guys were, yeah.
So that's
yeah,
why they're
yeah,
on probation
yeah.
or something. They're on thin ice, and if someone else dies, like they think this kid's gonna die, he's
right.
You know,
oh, he's gonna
he's
he
real
did
close.
Some serious head damage. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And so they're like, you know, this happened before and now we're here and this kid's about to die, so they're screwed. So we gotta get our story straight. And the police come.
Yeah,
interview people and take the kid to the hospital.
And the mom is like, "What did you give him?" Like, yeah. And they're like, "We didn't do anything. Like, we didn't give any. Just you know." And they won't admit to like what they really did.
But she's blaming.
Well,
Mia.
Even if they did admit to it, like,
I guess that's true.
Like, oh, we have a creepy mummified hand that we right. talked to the dead with. Well, like, what'd you give him?
What'd you give him?
Yeah. But so the mom is blaming Mia for all this.
Yes. Because Mia is kind of an outsider and she does kind of have
but
this.
But she has a history of drug use, right? Because they keep saying like you've.
But they keep talking. She's like, it was just marijuana.
I don't know what it was, but they allude to. She keeps saying that Mia maybe to cope with what happened with her mom. I don't remember them like fleshing out the whole backstory, but
no.
They know. Everyone knows that Mia has some kind of history with substance of some sort.
Right.
And so the mom just jumps in. Honor, like, what did you give her? What did you give him? What did you? I know it was you. Whatever, just get out of here. And obviously, Jade's next. It's like you let him do this. Like
you talked, you talked him into doing it.
And yeah, you let him do it. And so everyone's mad at Mia,
right? Except Daniel, because Daniel has also seen what's on the other side of this thing. So Daniel kind of says, "Look, I'll take you home. Like we'll, it's fine. Like we'll get some sleep. We'll come back in the morning." So they have this moment, and I do like where it is. There is definitely something still there between the two, without question. And while they're doing this, I like that when we see them asleep, Daniel's facing one way and Mia's facing the other
way.
Yeah,
like there's still an attraction on some level, but they're also trying. They're not trying.
No.
To hook up.
Correct.
Or anything. They're both being very respectful of the current relationship status.
Absolutely. So Mia starts to have a nightmare, and I think it is of watching her dad kind of like open the door when her mom falls out.
Yeah, I think she is seeing that replayed.
Something.
That sounds right.
So she snaps up awake. And when she does that, you get the whole breathing heavy and the room is dark. And this is what I was talking about earlier, where you kind of see this thing out of focus and you're just like, is that a pile of clothes? What the hell is that? And then it moves, it stands up and baby crawls over to the bed.
Toe sucker.
Yeah. And like puts all five toes and about the ball of the foot.
And she's all the way to the ankle.
And she's
it's like the Linda Lovelace of foot sucking.
She's like, wake up. And he wakes up, but it cuts to real life, and it's her doing it.
Going to town. And she's got like the milky eyes.
And he's like, what the hell are you doing? Yeah.
And so she, of course, he freaks out.
Had a little milkiness of his own.
Yeah, I bet he was.
A new fetish was born
ta-da!
That day.
He's like, oh, who knew?
But so, and I'm reading, so she stole the hand after that whole party mishap.
Yes.
And she used it to try to contact her mom, and the mom is like, there's more to this. He's not telling you. And so the demons are trying to convince her that the dad
had something to do with it. Yeah. And you need to go help Riley is also, like, Riley's in trouble.
Yeah.
So they, it's just we go back to the hospital. And we get another good look at Riley, who is, it's bad. It's real bad. And they're giving him like a sponge bath. And they're just
He reminded me of Mark Jackson, the guy who designed the Real Spoilers logo.
Yeah.
RIP. He looked like I'd seen Mark Jackson look
To
that sometimes after his seizures.
Oh man.
They were rough.
Dang.
I mean, now he just seemed have it only on half of his face.
Sure.
But like where this kid, it's a horror movie, but it's like, I was like, oh man, I remember seeing Mark Jackson look like that. It's rough.
Dang. Yeah. Which, I mean, as a medical person, that's how you could explain that is the kid had a seizure and you don't have to say a demon possessed by son.
But in front of witnesses, it wasn't a seizure. He was like deliberately
smashing
doing it over.
Face,
he wasn't flopping around. He was,
So I think Mia shows up.
So Haley and Joss tell Mia, Jade, and Daniel where they got the hand, and they track down Cole, who tells them like,
"Oh, this is on the bus."
Yeah, it's like, "What are you doing?"
I don't know how they knew that kid was going to be there catching
that
a bus.
Was spot on,
it's his bus route. But they're basically saying that like the spirit's hold on Riley will eventually weaken on its own.
But he's dying now. Yeah. Is basically what they're saying. So
it's like, yeah, he's going to be dead soon. There's no time to wait around.
Right. So Mia goes back. Oh, no. Does the kid just flips out, right? Like they're giving him a sponge bath.
Yeah, Riley comes home from the hospital.
Riley has another moment because he's in the hospital and he starts banging his head against.
Yeah, he's not home. He's
ceramic
still,
tile.
Oh, that's the hospital.
That's still at the hospital. Right. And his sister's like trying to take care of him. So he bites his sister. And then he falls on the ground, and man, this is another one where he is just like rearing his head back and smashing it into the porcelain and laughing the entire time.
It very much reminds me of the Deadites and Evil Dead, because they're like possessed people they're harming themselves and others and laughing and everything.
I think that's a very good comparison. So the family put Riley back into bed, and basically they sedate him because they say every time he wakes up, he's trying to kill himself.
Right.
And Mia decides to like, oh, she has they get the mom out of the room, and Mia says, "I will try to go talk to him," because she feels like if you say I want to talk to Riley, that Riley will show up. But instead, she gets this little girl, and I think this is probably one of the most unnerving scenes. There's two that I think are kind of this one where she asked this little, you know, she does the whole thing, talk to me and let me in, blah, blah. And the little girl says, "Yeah, he's here and I can take you to him." And she was like, "Okay." And the little girl says, "I let you in." And then Mia is transported to like this nightmare fuel thing where these demons are tearing Riley apart. And in my head, I was like, "Can you just grab him? Just get in there and grab him. Get him out of there."
I don't think it works.
I don't think so.
But yeah, it does not look like a good situation for Riley.
Honestly, it reminded me a lot of when in the director's cut of Doctor Sleep, when the True Knot go after Timothy Chalamet. No. Who's the kid? Oh, dang
Flounder?
It.
Flounder?
Yes.
Jacob Tremblay.
Which, if you've never seen the director's cut, that scene lasts about 2 minutes longer, and it is horrifying.
I like Doctor Sleep.
I think you would really like it.
Yeah, I've never gotten around to like rewatching it for the director's cut.
That's good.
It's reminded me of that. Then when that True Knot,
if you get more Rose the Hat, then it's good.
It's well, yeah, any Rebecca Ferguson's all right. Yeah, it's yeah.
You're gonna need a hat to hold in front of you.
I think of like Mystery Science Theater 3000, the movie, like football practice. do you have anywhere I can empty my hat? So Mia snaps back and she's like, "Oh boy, it is bad over there. We need to get him." They're trying to figure out how to get him out of there. And the mom, this demon of the, well, she goes, Mia goes back home, right?
Mm-hmm. Dad talks to her about that. There's
something I have to tell you.
Yeah.
There's like a note from her mom. But this is where I was a little confused here. Where is that note real, or is that something that the demon has made?
I think this is really the dad reading a suicide note.
Okay.
Because that's the thing, is that she suspects there's more to it and the demons are trying to convince her. But I do think that the mom committed suicide and the dad didn't share the note until now, but here's the note and to show you like this is really happening.
Right.
But then the demons are like, "Don't believe his lies."
And then we get this scene where the ghost mom shows up. And she's ghost mom. He says,
Thursday's on.
What's that?
Thursday's on.
Yeah.
TNT.
It was ghost dad.
I know.
We don't talk about that one, though. She says that's not your dad. Like, that's not your dad out there. And there's like a banging on the door. And
we don't see the letter, right? So, like,
I don't think so.
He could be reading anything. Theoretically.
Oh, sure.
So it's like, as viewers, I don't know that we truly know.
Kind of an unreliable narrator.
Like, without seeing if what letter is in her handwriting.
Right.
Not that we know what her handwriting
is.
But
as a viewer, I think it keeps you guessing. But I do believe that the dad's telling the truth and the letter's real. But we, as we're watching it, we're like, is he?
The thing I struggle with at the end of the day, as an avid Dateline viewer, is the wood from the door under her fingernails.
It's a red flag.
That is not a suicide attempt.
That is a red flag.
That is not an OD. It's like, that is someone trapped in a room.
Mm-hmm. Theoretically, could you be realize you made a mistake, but then be weakened or like you don't have time and you're just like flipping?
I feel like if you're so weak you can't open the door, you wouldn't have enough strength to scratch hard enough to dig wood off of a door.
It is confusing. There are some mixed things there which I don't really understand.
But I think,
and I think that's purposeful.
Yeah, right.
They want you to have these questions and doubts.
Well, that's what I mean for the story. Like, because we at this point don't know that the demon isn't really her mom and maybe trying to help her and be like, the dad did it.
Right.
I do think at the end of the day it was a demon tricking
her.
Absolutely.
But
in that point in time, you're supposed to think, well, that doesn't sound like a suicide attempt. And we still think the dad maybe isn't telling her everything.
Right.
So I think it works for the narrative. But now that we've seen it, it's like, well, then, yeah, how did the...
What was going on?
Yeah.
So the dad, well, who we assume is like demon dad, breaks through the door and attacks Mia. And it's a pretty good fight. Like, they're going back and forth, and Mia kind of is looks like she's pretty much done for.
It's like the hallway scene in Old Boy.
Kind of. Sort of. This was the scene where I remember I audibly said, oh, shit.
Oh, yeah, I know. Just like,
because the real dad is like, here's all the commotion. He can't get into the door. And I'm sure he's like.
And it looks like she's about to kill herself with scissors.
No.
She's on the ground with scissors by herself. So
I see what you're saying. Yes. From his point of view.
So
he's coming in to save you.
I think the demon, it looks like she's about to kill herself. He sees that and he's like, oh my God. But then she's fighting with him.
And then she
in her head.
Stabs her dad in the neck.
And we see that it's real dad. So it's like, oh.
I went, oh. And then it was like, he's gushing blood. And she comes to.
And then, of course,
And then. I feel like at this point she's fully gone.
Yeah. I mean, after killing her dad, I mean,
she has crossed the Rubicon.
Mia, that's right.
Although she has not killed her dad, but she has attempted to kill her dad.
That's true.
I don't believe that her dad would have lived through that.
But he did.
I don't believe that he would have lived through that.
That's what he's saying.
And anything other than a movie.
Yeah, right.
Like
a pair of shears to the jugular doesn't mean you get to live.
Yeah.
By all accounts, his
carotid artery is Ron Jeremy-ing all over the place.
I mean, how long?
It's a Linda Lovelace and a Ron Jeremy.
Yeah.
30 minutes, an hour. Like, by the time
Jade gets there,
instead of a ding ding, I get a grunt grunt.
Yeah. But, like, yeah, there's no way he wouldn't have bled out. There's just no way.
No. But he'd have to. I think of that scene in Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
When the little girl bites the guy's neck. And Anna Polly is like trying to reach into the wound and like snip, like, you know,
yeah,
like she's trying to reach into this guy's wound and trying to like grab the artery and she can't do it. But this guy's got a knife in his neck.
Yeah,
there's just no way. But she believes she's killed him. I mean, anybody would at that point. He's got stabbed in the neck.
I think that's Jason O'Mara.
What?
I think that's the voice of Batman, like in the New 52. I think.
Really?
I think maybe. Oh. The husband in Dawn of the Dead.
Oh, in Dawn of the Dead.
I'm sorry.
Like, okay,
No. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's Jason O'Mara.
Okay.
The demon mom is now kind of directing traffic at this point. She says that, you know, no pun intended. Well, pun intended.
Yeah, it works.
So she gets to the Mia gets to the hospital. And so, okay, in this scene,
mom says that the only way Riley is going to break free is to kill him. And it was foreshadowed earlier with the kangaroo.
Because her
and Riley passed by, like, that kangaroo.
Put it out of its misery.
She couldn't do it.
Right.
And so now it's like she's realizing that if she doesn't put him out of his misery, he's going to be tortured by these, and the demons will never stop messing with them all.
That's not Riley's mom, right? Where she's like, no, you're part of this family. Like, stay here and talk to him. I didn't think that was Riley's mom. I thought that was another demon. Like,
you're not saying the actress wasn't. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Like a vision. Yeah. Like, you know, she's seeing these demons everywhere that are influencing her decisions.
Oh, I thought that was the mom finally figured out, because there was no, like, the toxicology report. So there were no drugs.
Because the mom, like, lets her into the room and
did not think that was the real mom.
I mean, you don't need a demon to do that, right? Like, you could just, from a writing standpoint, you could just have her walk into an empty hospital room.
Yeah.
Like, they were, I think, trying to increased kind of the feeling of tragedy of the mom is trying to extend an olive branch to this girl who now does not deserve it because she's possessed by demons. Like
before, she was about to kill the brother. Right. And she's like, "You're part of our family and wouldn't hurt him." And she's about to kill him.
She's like, "You're right.
Yeah,
yeah.
You're totally right." So the mom kind of leaves, and
Jade now, because she says, "Jade, you got to come here." And then Jade goes there. She goes to the hospital to kill Riley, has the interaction with the mom. Jade shows up and is like,
That dude's also, this was the like the one part of this flick where I was like, that's weird. So Jade does find Mia's dad.
Max, yeah.
Bleeding out on the floor. I hope she called an ambulance. Because the next time we see Jade, she's walking to the hospital like with no...
Well, the fact that he miraculously survived, I'm guessing right. She called an ambulance.
Yes. I guess that's true. That's true.
Unless she just put a Band-Aid on it and like, then left him this. To heal.
She's a millennial. She texted 911. Right.
Hey, there's a guy bleeding over here. Can you come get him?
Sad face emoji. Crying blood.
Oh,
could it be like it should be like a knife with like blood on it? Like, oh, that's bad. So
you're really triggering my anxiety. This isn't cool. You should have warned me before I came. Yeah. In.
Why didn't you tell me? So Jade calls her mom and she's like, no, she's here. She's like, that bitch is dangerous. Like, don't let her go anywhere near Riley. So the mom kind of hustles back to the room. And of course, now Riley's gone and Mia's gone. And I like the nurse, but she's like, he was just here. And the mom's like, well, he's not now. Yeah. Like, where did he go? They can't find him. Mia is
pushing him
to an overpass. And Jade sees them. And I think this scene is insanely creepy where you see the hands of like the mom reach up over Jade, like not really over Jade or Mia's shoulders, but like kind of under her.
Yeah.
Her arms
to see the influence of the like demons
a little. Yeah. Boop. And you see something fall to the highway below. And the this is real good camera work. I think this camera work was kind of brilliant.
Yeah.
Where it pans around and you see that Jade has caught Riley and the only one on the ground is Mia. Yeah. And then Mia stands up and I was like, oh, dang. Like that's
in the moment. I was like, there's no way. Yeah,
totally agree.
Because when she does, I'm like, what?
Like, wait,
what?
She got
it.
Okay.
What like, makes good. Sense though, but it's a head fake.
Yes. Yeah. So she's walking and she sees that Riley has been saved by Jade and she's walking like back to the hospital,
but they're like all better now, right? It's like a time jump.
There is a time jump where we see Jade like cradling Riley and then Riley, as
you're better, everybody.
As Mia's walking to the hospital, we see that Riley's okay and everybody's like,
you know, the dad is
walking out as well. But it was at this point where I was like, oh no, she dead. Like that's because all the lights were starting to like go out
and
behind
no one sees her.
Her.
It's yeah, like
no one responds.
They don't talk to dead people.
Yeah. Not in this movie. So all the lights are going out behind her and then her dad's walking away and
she sees her hands or her fingers.
This hand is okay, but this hand's all gnarled up.
Yeah.
And I think this ending, one of the things that I do kind of miss about studio horror is nobody's really willing to give you a downer ending.
Yeah. Right.
You know, like the evil has to die.
Yeah.
The hero has to win at the end.
But not really, because they want to make six more.
Correct,
right.
Correct.
Like you have to win for the
kinda.
Moment.
I will say though, as not good as Halloween Ends is, I don't know how you come back from that. You threw Michael Myers into a meat grinder.
Yeah.
Then his spirit left and
they killed the other kid too. So like they
I know, but I mean, yeah.
But I will
they're
going to reboot that thing. Like that's what's going to happen. They're not going to try to spin off that. They're going to start something new.
But the ending's really cool because it goes to darkness and you're like, "Oh, that sucks. She's screwed."
Right.
And then it waits for a second and then you see a candle light.
And you see her hand go over the candle.
And then all of a sudden she's at a party.
Yeah.
But the only thing that I didn't really 100% connect with on this one, all the other demons were very much like blah, 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 blah. And then I don't know if it's just because they've been there so long, but like she just seemed like she was very aware and very much like, oh, I'm a demon now. Like, you know what I mean? They didn't seem like aware or like talking or, you know what I mean? She seemed like herself and like, oh, I'm a demon now.
Well, they do.
And they were like,
I don't know because I'm trying to remember because like like the little girl wasn't like that.
Yeah, the little girl like wasn't the, like that. That's true.
The little girl wasn't at the party.
But it's like, she holds the hand, and that's the.
But
that's
she's the, is in the hopper to potentially yeah, be one. It's true. Like chat roulette for dead yeah. people.
Other than them, though, it just seems like all the other ones were like, I'm a zombie ghost guy, and then she's just like,
I'm trying to remember, like
is, she wasn't scary.
Is that true, or are you more remembering the way the living people reacted to it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, was it the demons that were acting like that, or was it the living people reacting to encountering the demons?
No.
Because a lot of times we didn't even see the demons.
We saw two, for sure. We saw that creepy old woman.
Yeah.
And then I feel like we saw the one. Did we not see the one that Daniel saw?
Which I remember seeing one who I think was a drowning victim. She was very bloated.
That was the creepy toe sucker.
Okay.
That was the same one.
Yeah.
And then I feel like there was another one that we did see.
Yeah, I thought we did it at a
but
party.
But you're right, though. That little girl wasn't creepy looking. Yeah. She looked like a normal little girl.
True. I just wonder. So I guess that kind of then starts me asking, like, what are the rules? Are some of them are, like, very aware. Some of them are, like, creepy
Maybe
monsters.
It depends on how you died.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it just depends on who you are, right? Also like, true. I mean, good people die and bad people die. Yeah. Like, we're all going to die eventually. And so.
But, like, why are some demons trying to convince people to kill people and do stuff? But then, like, what is she going to do?
Why do some people rape and other people don't? You know what I mean? Like,
I did not know where that was going
like
either.
But, like I said, it's chat roulette. Like, you don't, you know, it could be like sometimes you're going to get a nice person.
Well, that's the little
and
girl.
Sometimes you could get a monster.
Yeah, the little girl wasn't trying. She's like, I'll take you to him. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to see some stuff, but I'll take you to him.
This is one I would have liked to have watched over now that I know how it goes. You know, I didn't have time, but I really was like, I would like to just watch this again.
No, I think it's worth a watch again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that.
But it was very enjoyable. I just didn't really, I'm like, kind of like, well, that sucks for her. But then I'm like, kind of like, what? What is this?
Here's the garbage part, right? We're getting an Exorcist movie in about a month.
Yeah.
And it's going to have to follow this. And I'm not saying that this is on the level of The Exorcist, but good luck outperforming in story.
Right.
This, which is kind of the same concept. You know, I don't know how you're going to do it. And I don't have a lot of faith in David Gordon Green.
Is it a sequel? What is it?
It's a sequel. It's a requel.
Yeah,
it's one of those requels because they bring back what's her name.
They bring back the mom.
The mom. Mm.
Yeah,
and I think so. I may have heard a spoiler where Linda Blair is somewhere in it.
It would not surprise me.
No.
Yeah.
You kind of have to bring Reagan unless she's dead.
Yeah.
Which is possible.
No, as long as they Blair's don't. Alive.
I know Linda Blair's alive.
Oh, okay.
As long as they negate Exorcist 2.
What about Exorcist 3, though?
That's fantastic.
Exorcist 3 is good. Exorcist 2 is bad.
Real bad. But they don't, like, Exorcist 3 really doesn't have, I mean, it does, ties.
But there's not a lot of connective tissue.
There's no talk of Reagan.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Jason Isaac and George C. Scott, who was, it's funny, I always forget that the George C. Scott character is in The Exorcist. Like, that's a character that we meet, but it's
just not played by George C. Scott.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's always confusing when they change the actors.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that's supposed to be.
And there
character.
Was a movie in between too.
Yeah.
So I forgot even more. Yeah, man. Again, like not independent horror is kind of where it's at right now.
A24 has a lot more hits than misses.
Oh, without
they
question.
They really know what they're doing. I feel like they've got the right kind of movies that they pick up. Like there's a total.
Yeah.
Aesthetic and the type of films that you know where it's just funny because they don't find it like they're picking movies up they're acquiring them
but they're not ordering
I don't know they may do like some but they're picking these movies up but it's so weird that it's like they're different companies making these movies but the ones they acquire all feel like
have
what you think
sensibility.
An A24 would be right
they're Ari Aster Ty West right because Pearl and X are A24. So, like, they've got, like, these different genres of horror that are, you know.
But the Midsommar and Hereditary.
But are very different from Pearl and X.
But they're also good.
But they still like, yes, this makes sense in this.
It's that art house indie horror. Is Bo is Afraid? Was that A24 too?
Yeah.
I've not seen that yet.
The less said about that, the better.
Well,
Sorry, Kevin.
Although Kevin's convinced that I will hate it.
Oh, yeah. I don't doubt that at all. I thought you liked it
last week.
I enjoyed it, but it is like I will never watch it again.
Okay. Sometimes that surprised you. I liked Haunting in Venice.
That's true.
I thought that was good.
That's a good point. So this is go get it.
Good for them. Yeah. I'm curious what these directors will do next. I mean, I've never seen any of their YouTube stuff.
Scream 8.
Yeah.
After Michael Landon does 7.
So who's taking over?
Michael Landon, the guy that did the Happy Death Day and Freaky.
Michael Landon from Little House on the
Prairie? Oh, no, his
son. Oh, it's his son?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll be curious to see how that ends up.
Bringing back Neve Campbell. They paid her.
Oh, did they?
Did they cave? I didn't see that.
Yeah, I think that...
they heard the fans.
Everybody was like, pay her.
Yeah.
Stupid. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, come on. It's her franchise.
I feel like this might be it.
They're
like, oh,
how many times have we said that?
That's true. She survives every time.
Yeah. I mean, every time we think like, oh, okay, well, she's done with these now. And if they want to make more, they kind of got to have her.
Yeah.
Like it's, yeah. Even if it's for 2 scenes.
I heard a fun pitch for 7.
Yeah.
With like, they go meta on top of meta where Ghostface is killing the people who were in Stab.
Yeah.
Like the actors who were in Stab. Or Scream, so you can redo the Drew Barrymore opening with Drew Barrymore, and I was like, that's kind of brilliant.
Man, I don't like.
Well, instead of calling it Stab, then they can call it Scab.
I think they got to really do something different because that last one was wearing
too fast
for me.
They pushed it out too fast.
They did. Which is a shame because the one before that was really
good.
Real good. Yeah,
the S cream.
I won't go as far as to say the last one was bad, but it was certainly pretty weak for that.
But it's like, what are we doing with like, don't keep explaining the rules. I know it's always been meta, but each Scream is really built upon the last one, where it's like, oh, things have changed.
What they should have done is what we talked about: is they show us the killer from jump.
That opening is brilliant.
Yeah,
I really thought, I mean, how clever would that be? But now they've used it. They used that trick. If they open it and we follow the killer now after they opened it and like they tricked us last time, like it's too soon. You can't do that now.
There's somebody put out a video of like all of the references. There's like 147 horror references in that movie.
Oh,
like
really?
In the last one, it's like, God dang.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
You should have spent more time focusing on your plot.
So Christopher Landon.
Chris Landon. Yeah. Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21. You can also follow me on Letterboxd at the same.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett and follow and subscribe to Circle of Wizards for your video game discussions.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online, facebook.com/Real Spoilers. Don't forget our Patreon, patreon.com/Real Spoilers. And surprise, the episode was 60 minutes, but it did not suck.
Yeah. That's true.
So sometimes we got to throw a curveball at you to keep you on your toes. People probably, when they saw the runtime, were like, they didn't like talk to me? I don't understand. So, no, it's
no,
just,
we did.
Sometimes we record 2 of these in a day.
Yeah, we just want to be done. So, anyway, that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Amelia breaks Bugsy's neck. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's going to ruin the plot.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.